Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that results in suffering? Example, the good, right person thing to do is to be generous. Above all else, I must not be selfish. That's the karmic choice I make over spending money on what takes care of me. Record and listen to what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi. Finally, I was able to call in. I'm off on Friday. So let's see. There's a lot of stuff coming up around money, and I think the main message is, well, the first message is to keep it all secret. I can't, you know, of course I'm not supposed to look at it or talk about it or anything, but
no,
as I've been
allowed.
Yes.
Right.
And yeah. I can see that as something that was protective, you know, part of the survival system stuff. But lots of stuff has come out as I record and listen. And let's see. One of the karmic things is that I'm a person who can handle it. I'm the person who can do without. It's okay if I don't eat my lunch because I'm working with somebody and I don't have time. So it's okay if I don't do the massage, even though, gosh, I feel so tense, I could really use it. It's because I can handle it. There's a big personality that does that.
Uh-huh. In my family, yeah. Christine, that there was an actual expression for that. I have broad shoulders.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's what that means. Right? So,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
I can carry it all. I can handle it. Go ahead. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'm good. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, it's only really been as I age. I mean, we're always aging, but that actually, no, I can't. I can't handle it. And so, and I don't want to swing to the other side of the duality. I just would like to, I guess when I was recording and listening, I got to a place of, you know what, it's my life, I'm working, it's my money, why don't I just enjoy it all? I mean, there's a balance. I can spend some, I can take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's all okay, I don't have to.
You can be responsible, you're an intelligent, responsible grown-up.
Yeah.
Right? And it's,
yeah.
I want to make another point, Christine. It's not that you can't handle it. You can't.
That's right.
You choose
yes.
not to because there's no sense in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
There isn't any sense in it. This is why would I do that to my? Why would I let conditioning do that to me?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's not very nice.
And the two things that you put together, why shouldn't you enjoy the money you have? It's your life. Why shouldn't you mm-hmm. enjoy your life? And when we really ask that question from a clear and centered place, there's no good answer other than, yeah, it's your life, enjoy it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then one other quick thing, there's karma around family and my mom claiming, you know, she never has any money, but the dad has money and. Why can't she get, why can't she have, you know, why doesn't he give to her, and, you know, et cetera. And what conditioning wants to do when I dig into that is, to separate me from my mom, because she's the one who, all, you know, taught us, you know, there's never enough, and work hard, and, you know, I never can have enough money, and I never have enough money, all that stuff. And so I'm being careful to not allow conditioning to separate and divide, because that doesn't mean I shouldn't spend time with my mom. It just means that's what happened, and now I'm just dealing with it for myself. My
that's
mom
right.
does
and
her own thing.
Yeah, she's got her karma, and we in this practice have something marvelous that we can employ called facilitation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to reject your mother, and you don't have to give her all your money. Right?
Yeah.
You can just listen to her and reflect her and let her feel heard, and you because you don't have to take any of that on and don't have to reject her, you can actually practice loving her unconditionally, realizing that she's just fine exactly where and how she is, as we all are, and it's all a blessing.
Yes, and I think that's part of why I have this thing of I just don't want to look at it, because when I do look at it, that means there's something against these people that I love. But
yes.
But it doesn't. I know it doesn't have to go that way. But there's
no
but
because
does, yeah,
because
yeah.
Under that, Christine, I would say the reason it doesn't want you to look at it is because of where you're getting with it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with anything. Everybody is just fine. It's your life. You get to enjoy it. What a great modeling. I don't care if you are the child in the relationship. It's great modeling.
Yeah.
We are, whatever we're doing, whatever is going on, it's our life, and we can enjoy our life.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Christine. It's so critical, right, Jerry? For the thing that I think we're seeing so starkly in all of the ways in which we're seeing the conditioned process, right? The way it puts together things that are not necessarily true, and that you know, if I have something that I can handle it, that if I choose to do something like get a massage because my shoulders are tight or take a lunch break, then the assumption is that I no longer can handle it, and that's how we're held hostage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that
or,
if I spend time,
or I have to go to the other side, right? Which Christine
yeah.
is pointing at.
I have to. Well, now I can't handle anything. Now I'm just hopeless and helpless, and oh my God, what's going to happen to me?
Yes, and that situation with her parents, right? That there's a way in which the shape is defined, and any alternative only swings us to the other side of the duality. That to step out of that mutually exclusive, if this not that orientation. Is that and place in life, right? That it's both possible. It doesn't mean only one triumphs, which is so ego's orientation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one winner.
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what that is. It's the conditioned thinking.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff in Iowa City.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Shwini.
Good.
So
we're getting to
really
check up on you on a regular basis. This is very good.
Well, it's a big help, let me tell you. And these exercises are huge help. So I'm looking at this karma related to finances, and for me, looking for a job. And one of the things that I've kind of saw, I see all these dualities, and then I started looking at some assumptions and beliefs in a couple of them that clearly have an impact on my job search and my view towards the money. Is I have this kind of belief that that any job is really going to steal your freedom and kind of pin you in so that you can't really be like Thoreau at Walden Pond and enjoy life, because you're going to be, you know, punching a clock and answering to the man, as the working class folks often say. And then also another belief I have is like just a lack of a trust that, especially if it's a job in a private sector, that the boss will want to offer the least amount of pay possible and get the most work. So their bottom line increase.
Well, Jeff, you know that's true.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have to let ego speculate about that. Right? I don't know what
we can just let ego just gets all the fear from it.
That's right. That's right. So if we just know, yeah, of course that's true. And it's true for us. That's how we know it's true for other people, right? So when we're identified with ego, we want the most for us that we can possibly get. And if that means it's a minute ago, you know, there's only one winner.
Yeah.
So if somebody else gets less because I get more, hey, then that's really good for me. That's how ego operates. And somebody could help me with this at some point, but there's a song or a poem or something about having a place by the side of the road and being a friend to man. And so I've always pictured that as some little coffee place or little sandwich place or a little something in somewhere where, and it's a very, I think this is European karma that's coming out, but very much a what I do for my living is a part of the community that I inhabit. It's not it's not that I go somewhere to make money and then outside of that I'm going to find a way to be in community with my neighbors, with life in service. But instead to have a model of that being one thing.
Yes.
Because,
yeah, and I think
if you really read Thoreau, okay, he worked actually a lot because, of course, like everybody else, he needed to support himself. Now, what he primarily wrote about when it wasn't abolitionism and all of his political stuff was what it was like to be walking in the woods, and he did find plenty of time for that. But he was also a surveyor, right? So he got to walk in the woods a lot as he was surveying, and he got to, right? So not to let ego create for us an idea of how something needs to be, which is largely designed to separate us from the rest of humanity and make them the enemy, that which is taking away from me, but rather, how can all of this be service, whatever I'm doing, wherever I am?
Yes. Yeah. Because when I look at these kind of beliefs that are just scams and pull them back a little bit, what I really see is just there are a lot of self-hate that wants to separate me from the community and being involved and having security of an income and saving and all of those things that money can provide.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, it can make us wonder, when we think about the future and security and all that, are we more secure because we've got a lot of money in a bank somewhere, the economy being able to fail at any moment, or might we have more security in being surrounded by a community of people who care for one another and support one another? You know, when we look at hard times throughout human history, the stories that we hear that are the most inspiring, of course, are of the ones of the how the people came through something together, caring for one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Good.
Well lots to look at.
Yeah. and as you started off, you know, it really does kind of inform your job search to look at, well, what do I actually want? What am I trying to accomplish here? What's going to take best care of Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear out the crap and corruption so you can see the light.
Yes. Polishing those windows. Very good.
Okay. All right. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye
bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Jerry, I don't know if this is a tangent, but I picked up on this insight as you were talking, which is, you know, we come into the world completely free, right? There's a sense of being part
of all that is without limitation. And then we're mm-hmm. socialized and conditioned to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way in which we are confused by what freedom is, right? Freedom, if our allegiance was to life, we'd never be limited. If our allegiance is to conditioning, we're always being limited.
Wow. That is
really what we struggle with, right? So if I decide to get a job, then because everything is conditioned in the social sphere, what I'm giving my allegiance to is conditioning. And I don't want mm-hmm. to, because the siren call of freedom is inside me. I don't want to be limited at all. But there's mm-hmm. a way we could basically say, all I'm ever doing is turning to life, in which case I'm completely free, and my relationship to what I have to do then changes. It's yeah. coming from freedom to a structure rather than giving allegiance to a structure because I have to, and then curtailing yeah. my freedom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think of some of our modern-day role models with that, Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, mm-hmm. people who spend extended periods of time actually locked up in little mm-hmm. tiny cells, and yet the freedom that they experienced was something that we all aspire to in our ostensibly mm-hmm. free lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think that part of what that's what makes it spiritual, when we fall from fear, which is what forces our compliance to conditioning, into love, which is a relationship to life. You have to fall through the fear into that trusting place that I am totally free and I am completely here, which mm-hmm. is what makes me secure. Mm-hmm. And it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a practice. Yeah, that's very good. That's very helpful.
Here we go, Sherry. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwin. It's Claire from London.
Well, hello, Claire.
Hi. So the main thing that I'm seeing about money is that I'm being told constantly that, well, I haven't got any problems about money. Everything's absolutely fine. And I'm flipping backwards and forwards between, there should be a problem. Look for one. There's bound to be some loads of awful karma going on here. And then alternatively, we'll just sit back and enjoy the fact that you don't feel like you have any problems. But... Yeah.
So either choice is go to sleep.
Is it? Oh, okay. Right. Maybe that's what's happening.
Well, in the sense that it, don't be present would be a better way to say it. Don't be present to what's actually going on below that surface of enjoy the fact that you don't have any problems versus you know, there are problems if you just look hard enough for them. Now,
yes.
it's not true, but my sense was I can take you as your ego. I can take you in either one of those directions, and I can be in charge of your experience.
Yes. Yes, I didn't see that. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll define your life for you, and I'll tell you what your experience is or what you should be experiencing. I'll draw the parameters of your life for you.
Which is ironic because the issue that I'd chosen around money was actually the same issue as I chose last month, which was basically just to allow my feelings and my sensations about whatever the topic was. And
uh-huh.
And I sort of, and I've been, obviously, by what I've just said, I've been talked out of that, haven't I?
Oh, isn't that good to see?
Yeah.
You know, what I saw when you said that was how ego is just constantly trying to bring us up to the surface, right? So you really want to explore sensations in the body and what goes with that, right? The meanings and the labels and the stories and the karma and the all of that. You want to explore that. So what ego wants to constantly be doing is bringing you up to the surface where you're just in that conversation, safely removed from that deeper exploration.
Yes. That is so right. Yes, and I will say, I'm just going to say that I have actually experienced a couple of genuine, in-the-moment feelings about money, and one is a very deep fear, basically. Yeah, fear of losing the money that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I realize as I'm laughing along here, I just find this so exciting. I hope other people do too. It's just the best game that human beings can engage in. It's a giant scavenger hunt back to ourselves, and just following these clues and seeing how we're being tricked and fooled and led down into cul-de-sacs, and then we realize it and we have to retrace our steps and go, you know, it's just so fun.
Yes, absolutely. And I find that there is something big about trust, about money for me, and it's kind of using money instead of trusting my own heart, my own awareness. Yeah.
Again, a way to keep you separate from you. So you're fine as long as you have plenty of money. But if you didn't have plenty of money, you'd be in big trouble because you're only fine because you have plenty of money. And that is, talk about an insecure place to live, right? Because money is kind of an iffy, deal.
Yes, it's kind of impermanent.
It exemplifies impermanence, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Claire. There's another example of the conditioned process, right? It focuses on our well-being conditional on something that can never be permanent.
Yes.
What a recipe for suffering.
Yes. And as Claire was describing, it makes it so subterranean that if we're not doing a practice like this, if we don't have some way of excavating this stuff, then we're just going to be kept up on that surface level. It's no wonder the entire world is anxious. Of course we're anxious. There's all this stuff that we are not allowed to see and see through. So the implication is something dreadful could happen to me at any moment. Now, something dreadful very likely could happen to each and every one of us, but not every moment. And that constant anxiety certainly does not prepare us. Again, as Claire was indicating, it doesn't prepare us for being in a relationship with ourselves in life such that we trust that we will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it prevents the relationship with life that gives us the experience of being okay.
Yes. Yeah. And just keeps all that fear unexamined. So, of course, it just becomes constant anxiety and dread. We start dreading life, which is the saddest thing in the world.
Sure, you think we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hi. Let's see. So, great conversation I can follow along with. What I had seen recently that was kind of big, as I guess deep karma, is comparison pulling me into duality and getting stuck there. So, you know, and so I was looking at how, you know, a news event can just bring me to this, to a, well, let's see if I know that's not right. How ego, you know, how it all comes to, there's something wrong. Those people have too much. How could they be like that? And then I'm also, I'm with a lot of people in my life that don't, can't pay the bills or who are homeless. And so when you slide to that end of the, if we're looking at money, if we slide to that end of the spectrum, then I'm the one who has too much money. And, you know, what's wrong with me? And so, and it's mixed with achievement. I see that achievement thing. You should work really hard to get more, but don't act like you do, you know? So a lot of good, juicy stuff in there that was trying to get me stuck. And then I realized, thanks to, I think it was yesterday's conversation, that I can, that I kind of had an, I could see the need under there that, and I think it's what we've been discussing, you know, there's, there's something under there that's out of that duality, that conversation.
Yes. So the sense, there you are in the woods, right, and you come to a fork in the trail, and which one are you going to take? Okay, so we go down this one and this happens. We go down that one and that happens. And what we're trying to look at is, where were you before you started down one of those paths, right? We want to stop and be there in awareness of what's happening right now. And, of course, with ego, it's the constant pull towards, well, what's wrong with those people? Well, what's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with them? Well, what's wrong with you? And, of course, in that conversation, there's no ability to look at what's under that. And of course, one of the first good places we get to look is the assumption that there's something wrong is rarely, no, is never going to take us anywhere that we want to be.
I see. That. I know that. I know that place of being pulled down those paths without having the awareness of what's happening, like that. Just like you were talking about, the covering it all over so we don't see it happening.
Go ahead. Well, it's just that my only point was to reiterate the one that each of those negation dualities it further feeds that deep belief that there's something wrong and not enough.
And that's what
we're not able to explore.
Okay. Yeah, and what came to me was back when we first started looking at compassionate, conscious compassionate action, and that great place in the blog about that, the place where nothing's wrong, but there's, well, anyway, how to say this, but what touched my heart was that it's kind of coming from a place of connection and love and caring and sadness and all those things that can really happen. They can be real and present, actually. So
well,
that,
and I project that that's a place where you live, right? Because most of those people, I'm guessing, that are in your life who don't have the money to pay the bills and are homeless and that sort of thing are people that you serve professionally.
Yes, many are, or I work with,
that you work with, and which we could also say is served professionally if we wanted to.
As
we were talking about with Jeff, where our attitude of mind is.
That's my community, right.
That's yes. your community, right? And so if we can get underneath that something wrong, not enough, then what is our relationship? If we come from a place, an assumption that we're going to prove in a very scientific way, a hypothesis, that everything is exactly as it is and therefore as it needs to be and should be, well, then what is our relationship? What might I choose to do? How do I want to participate? What is the role I can play in this situation? And life will give that to us.
Yes.
But if it's reduced to money and who has money and who doesn't have money, we can never explore any of those deeper places.
Right. Yes. Yes. And I think that's where I've found the joy of being in this community, of being able to just
yes.
be there and actually
yes.
have those moments of presence.
Yes.
And
yes.
realize,
and
yeah.
those connections.
Mm-hmm. Connection, to be able to connect. And yeah, right,
mm-hmm.
right. Right,
mm-hmm.
that it's okay. Money doesn't have anything to do with it, that we're all connected on, and we're all in this together. You know?
That's right.
So,
that's right. And
we're all
doing the best we can to get to the unconditional, to get to unconditional love and acceptance for ourselves and for one another, regardless of circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay.
See you soon, Eleanor.
Yeah, the dogwoods are here, so
woo!
Just need y'all to get here. Travel safe. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Eleanor. I just love this gathering of the clan, Terry. All these people that are getting together to meet, and we'll all be able to sit with Sangha and also be part of the radio show while we're in North Carolina. So it'll be just
yes.
a wonderful time.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Very fortunate mm-hmm. indeed. All right.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of the show, Terry, and our assignment today, Friday. So we'll get back together on Monday. What possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're already on to that one, aren't we? Very
mm-hmm.
good. All
yes.
right. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Thank you, Sherry. Happy. Go happy. Have a happy weekend.